Book 18, Chapter 7. How Herod the Tetrarch was banished. But Herodias, Agrippa's sister, who now lived as wife to that Herod who was Tetrarch of Galilee and Perez, took this authority of her brother in an envious manner, particularly when she saw that he had a greater dignity bestowed on him than her husband had, since when he ran away it was because he was not able to pay his debts. And now he was come back. He was in a way of dignity and of great good fortune. She was therefore grieved and much displeased at so great a mutation of his affairs, and chiefly when she saw him marching among the multitude with the usual ensigns of royal authority. She was not able to conceal how miserable she was, by reason of the envy she had towards him. But she excited her husband and desired him that he would sail to Rome to court honors equal to his, for she said that she could not bear to live any longer while Agrippa, the son of that Aristobulus who was condemned to die by his father, one that came to her husband in such extreme poverty that the necessaries of life were forced to be entirely supplied him day by day, and when he fled away from his creditors by sea, he now returned a king, while he was himself the son of a king, and while the near relation he bare to royal authority called upon him to gain the like dignity, he sat still and was contented with a privater life. But then, Herod, although thou wast formerly not concerned to be in a lower condition than thy father from whom thou wast derived had been, yet do thou now seek after the dignity which thy kinsman hath attained to. And do not thou bear this contempt that a man who admired thy riches should be in greater honor than thyself, nor suffer his poverty to show itself able to purchase greater things than our abundance. Nor do thou esteem it other than a shameful thing to be inferior to one who the other day lived upon thy charity. But let us go to Rome, and let us spare no pains nor expenses, either of silver or gold, since they cannot be kept for any better use than for the obtaining of a kingdom. But for Herod, he opposed her request at this time, out of the love of ease, and having a suspicion of the trouble he should have at Rome. So he tried to instruct her better. But the more she saw him draw back, the more she pressed him to it, and desired him to leave no stone unturned in order to be king. And at last she left not off till she engaged him, whether he would or not, to be of her sentiments, because he could no otherwise avoid her importunity. So he got all things ready, after as sumptuous a manner as he was able, and spared for nothing, and went up to Rome, and took Herodias along with him. But Agrippa, when he was made sensible of their intentions and preparations, he also prepared to go thither, and as soon as he heard they set sail, he sent Fortunatus, one of his freedmen, to Rome, to carry presents to the emperor, and letters against Herod, and to give Caius a particular account of those matters, if he should have any opportunity. This man followed Herod so quick and had so prosperous a voyage and came so little after Herod that while Herod was with Caius, he came himself and delivered his letters. For they both sailed to Dicearchia and found Caius at Berne, which is itself a little city of Campania, at the distance of about 5 furlongs from Dicearchia. There are in that place royal palaces with sumptuous apartments, every emperor still endeavoring to outdo his predecessor's magnificence. The place also affords warm baths that spring out of the ground of their own accord, which are of advantage for the recovery of the health of those that make use of them, and besides they minister to men's luxury also. Now Caius saluted Herod, for he first met with him, and then looked upon the letters which Agrippa had sent him, and which were written in order to accuse Herod, wherein he accused him that he had been in confederacy with Sejanus against Tiberius, and that he was now confederate with Artabanus, the king of Parthia, in opposition to the government of Caius, as a demonstration of which he alleged that he had armor sufficient for 70,000 men ready in his armory. Caius was moved at this information, and asked Herod whether what was said about the armor was true. And when he confessed there was such armor there, for he could not deny the same, the truth of it being too notorious, Caius took that to be a sufficient proof of the accusation that he intended to revolt. So he took away from him his tetrarchy, and gave it by way of addition to Agrippa's kingdom. He also gave Herod's money to Agrippa, and by way of punishment, awarded him a perpetual banishment, and appointed Lyon, a city of Gaul, to be his place of habitation. But when he was informed that Herodias was Agrippa's sister, he made her a present of what money was her own, and told her that it was her brother who prevented her being put under the same calamity with her husband. But she made this reply, "Thou indeed, O emperor, actest after a magnificent manner, and as becomes thyself in what thou offerest me, but the kindness which I have for my husband hinders me from partaking of the favor of thy gift, for it is not just that I, who have been made a partner in his prosperity, should forsake him in his misfortunes." Hereupon Caius was angry at her, and sent her with Herod into banishment, and gave her estate to Agrippa. And thus did God punish Herodias for her envy at her brother, and Herod also for giving ear to the vain discourses of a woman. Now Caius managed public affairs with great magnanimity during the first and second year of his reign, and behaved himself with such moderation that he gained the good will of the Romans themselves and of his other subjects. But in process of time he went beyond the bounds of human nature in his conceit of himself, and by reason of the vastness of his dominions made himself a god, and took upon himself to act in all things to the reproach of the deity itself.